Michael Mannering on FM 91 KCSM, the Bay Area's jazz station. The soon-to-be-released album Soliloquy, and that one is called Da Buddha's Memory?
That's what it's called, yeah. The Da Buddha is the name of a Washoe Indian woman who's a master of the art of basket weaving.
You had told me the title, and just the way my mind thinks, I thought duh was, well, like Cannonball Adderley used to title things duh as a corruption of T-H-E.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was Da Buddha. I didn't realize Da Buddha was a person. Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, Michael, thank you. I really enjoyed that piece.
Well, thanks so much, Clifford. I appreciate that, man.
Now, you do that all at once, or you overdub that?
This is all solo done at once, all live in the studio performance. Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Got to use all your fingers to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have so many different things going on, both rhythmically and melodically, and it sounds like a couple of people playing.
Thanks. That's one of the fun things about it, is seeing how much you can get happening and trying to get a lot of colors and a lot of different sounds happening and still see if you can keep it musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the fun things about playing this instrument, which is still in its infancy, you know. This instrument's really only about 50 years old. So there's so much uncharted territory that you can explore with it.
That is so true. That's something I had not thought of. You know, you said it's in its infancy, and I wasn't thinking of it as the electric bass. I was just thinking the bass in general. It's like, no, it's not. But you're absolutely right.
Well, the upright bass, you know, has a long, very distinguished history. And I played the upright for many, many years and love that whole tradition and try to apply some of it to this instrument, the bass guitar. But the bass guitar itself is kind of its own. It's its own animal. It's related to the electric guitar, and it's related to the upright bass, but it's kind of its own thing as well.
Okay, yeah. Man, that's something, though. It's an interesting way of looking at it, the evolution of an instrument that's that young.
I think it the future will be interesting for the instrument. I mean, it's always been connected to pop music. It's always been kind of integral to pop music. And pop music is all about being faddish, so we'll see if that faddishness kind of extends to the instrument itself. But the instrument has an awful lot of possibility. I love playing it because it was invented here in California, you know, and it's just before I was born. And so it's really an instrument of this place, of this time. It feels so native to me, and there's so much yet to be done with it. It just seems like it has so much possibility. It's just been really exciting to be around watching it grow and watching it develop and seeing where it's kind of wondering about what the future is going to hold for it.
In learning to develop new techniques and new sounds and putting things together like we just heard, do you borrow from a lot of other instruments, or do you just hear sounds in your head and say, okay, let's see now, if I do this and this and this, I might be able to make that? How does that work?
Well, a little of both. I'm a big borrower. Who was it that said, good composers borrow and great composers steal?
Yes.
It was a famous quote. But pretty much anything that I hear that I like, I'll see if I can apply it to my instrument. If I hear something on piano or that I like, I'll think, well, how could I play that on bass? Or if I hear an opera aria that I like, I think, well, how could I apply that to bass playing? So, and often, sometimes you'll end up being able to apply something directly, but sometimes you won't, but the avenue it sends you down is actually more interesting than if you were able to apply it directly.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. That makes a great deal of sense.
The piece we just listened to, actually, is I used a capo on it, which is a device that's normally used for guitar. It's a kind of a metal bar that you put across the strings.
Oh, yeah.
And it just stops the guitar at a higher pitch so that you can play a little higher than the guitar is normally tuned. And for bass, that's nice because bass is such a low instrument that making it a little higher is nice. But this particular capo is a real interesting idea that somebody had. It rolls. It rolls across the strings, so you can move it to different frets. And so I can do this while I'm playing. I can kind of move it around to different frets and change the pitch of the open strings while I'm playing, which is a really fun idea.
Yeah. Well, obviously, musicians flock to see. At least that's what I continue to hear and continue to read. But I want to encourage non-musicians as well to make it out to the Jazz School in Berkeley on Saturday, April 16th. It's an 8 p.m. show. because this young man, just his music is so astounding, and to listen to him again, it's like you're listening to several people standing there, and yet it's just him and his instruments making this music. If you'd like information about tickets, 510-845-5373. That's 510-845-5373. Michael Manring, Saturday, April 16th, the Jazz School in Berkeley CD release party. And you pick up a ticket, you also get a copy of the new Soliloquy album. And I think that'll be before you can actually get it in stores, right, Michael?
It will. This will be the very first place you can get a hold of the record. Okay. And the record, it's actually, I should probably mention, it's an ECD. So it contains a lot of extra content in addition to just the music.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a kind of extended liner notes about each piece, where it comes from. For those who are musically minded, there's a little bit of technical discussion about the tunings I use for each piece and the bass that it's played on. There are two video clips mm-hmm. that come on the CD of live performances that you can see, and pictures and all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Tell you, this technology thing, man.
It's amazing.
I'm just getting used to it. And as soon as I think I'm used to one thing, then here comes something else. Pretty wonderful, though.
It is. Well, I tell you, when you do get used to it, you have to come and explain it to me.
Okay.
It is amazing.
Michael, what's on tap for you? What do you have coming up?
Well, there's always an awful lot on the plate. I really just love music, and I just feel so fortunate to have a chance to play with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I've played on over 200 records now as a sideman. And I do a lot of different work with a lot of different groups. One of the groups I'm real excited about these days is one of my old friends, Alex Degrassi, and I have a new trio.
Oh,
yeah!
Wow, that's exciting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, we're just getting started with this.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is an old Windham Hill guy too,
and
just an amazing steel string fingerstyle guitar player. One of the real pioneers of that genre. And so we've gotten together with a percussionist from L.A. named Chris Garcia, who specializes in Indian instruments, tabla mm-hmm. and kanjira and some of the other Indian percussion. And we've been working on some music that's talk about genre bending, kind of hard to describe. It incorporates a lot of different ethnic traditions and a lot of improvisation. So we'll have some gigs coming up in the Bay Area later this year. And for folks who are interested, you can check out that information on my website, which is www.manthing.com. And I also have I play in a group with two guys from back east, Scott McGill and Vic Stevens. Yeah. The name of the group is unimaginatively McGill, Mannering, Stevens. And we have a new CD coming out. This will be our third. And this one will be fun because it's all jazz standards we did on this one.
Wow.
It's
You made me raise my eyebrow again, second time today.
Well, this is the music that we grew up with. And this was these great tunes are our education, mm-hmm. learning how to play this music and listening to all the amazing and brilliant ways that people have played this music. And so we thought we'd give a try at our take on it. And some unusual versions of jazz standards, but all stuff from the standard repertoire.
Cool.
That record's called What We Do, and that will be coming out on the Laser's Edge record label in a couple of months.
Real good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. We look forward to that. Also look forward to your performance on April 16th. Again, man, I want to thank you so much and so sincerely for stopping by. It is such a pleasure to get to put you together with your music, so thank you.
The pleasure's really mine, Clifford. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Michael Manring, the soon-to-be-released album Soliloquy, and you can catch Michael and pick up your CD Jazz School in Berkeley Saturday, April 16th, an 8 p.m. show. And again, for tickets or information, 510-845-5373. Well, time for us to make room for Jesse Chuy Varela. I will see you again. We'll do midday jazz together. Till then, hope that God will bless you and yours. I'm Clifford Brown, Jr. You take care, and most of all, enjoy the Bay Area's Jazz Station. That's FM 91 KCSM.